Turn in your Bibles here this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And we'll pick up our reading in verse 22 here this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. It says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." Abstain from all appearances of evil. My title here this morning for the message is "Watch Your Step." Watch your step. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word here this morning, I thank you for it. I thank you for the authority in which it speaks to us as believers. And Father, I pray that you would bless this message to our hearts. And Lord, you'd use it for your glory and honor. May I be a vessel that honors your Son, your word, and your kingdom, God. So Lord, we are the saints of God gathered here this morning. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive all that you've done for us and desire of us. So, Lord, bless us around your word. Feed us with your heavenly manna. And I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I want to see how many here this morning have been very observant. You ever seen a dog in a backyard with a fence around it? Okay, got a picture here. Now, great big backyard. Where is the dirt showing through in the yard? In the middle of the yard or along the fence where the dog runs? Along the fence. You ever thought about that? Why does a dog always wear the grass away right by the fence? He wants to see what's happening. He's patrolling.
The grass is always greener.
I was more leaning to what Paul's saying there. The grass is, he always wants to, that what I call edge living. A dog always wants to get to the edge and see what's out there more. He's not happy with having that big yard. He always wants what's on the other side of the fence. That edge living. You know, for a dog, that's one thing. But how about believers that have this edge living? They're always on the edge of what is good and what is evil. Do you ever think about that? Because if you're right on the edge of what is good and what is evil, and you're still in that good zone, so to speak, but you're really pushing the edge, so to speak, it's not a good thing to live with edge living like that. Our verse here this morning, abstain from all appearances of evil. That is the very opposite of edge living for the believer. Because what we don't want to do as a believer, that we live in such a way we're always running the fence. Now, a fence is what? A boundary. Now, does God have fences? Sure he does. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Is that a boundary between right and wrong? Thou shalt not steal. Is that a boundary? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's a fence. And what we want to do as believers, we want to live our lives in such a way that we're not always running the fence, right on the edge. Because if we're that edge-living believer, all it takes Satan to do to knock us over is just a little nudge. And you're over the edge. And you're falling. You know, this verse is very practical for us. Abstain from all appearance of evil, all forms of evil. Well, let's just look at that word abstain here for a minute. let's just magnify that word here a minute. Abstain. That means you don't participate in, you watch out for, you make a willful decision you're not going to do this thing. You don't want it to be part of your lifestyle. You're abstaining from it. You're setting it aside. You don't want this whatever's. You're not participating with it. I'm not going to be part of this. That's abstaining. And God says here in his word, abstain from all forms or all appearances of evil. Well, one thing that bumps us up against is, what is evil? Do I decide what is evil? Do you get the priority to decide what is evil? Who decides what is evil? In our culture today, our Supreme Court, I saw a cartoon one time that said, in the evening news, it said, the Supreme Court of America has just voted themselves in as God in a 7-2 vote. I mean, that was a joke. But in some ways, they really did that. Because what did they do? They said, a man can marry a man, and that's a marriage. Did God say that? No, he didn't say that. They said that. They put themselves in the place of God. What is evil, though? Do I get to decide evil? Do you get to decide evil? Is there any moral objective out there that we can go to for right and wrong? Somebody said evil is that morally objectionable behavior. Evil is that which causes harm or destruction to others or to myself. Evil is that quality of being morally wrong in principle or practice. Evil is morally bad or wrong. Evil is having a nature of vice. Having or exercising a malignant influence. Evil. We are so used to evil, we don't see evil as being as evil is evil. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? Because we're sinful creatures, and we have so much coming at us. I saw a survey one time that between a young person from birth to 18, they would have seen like 15 or 16,000 murders in their lifetime in those years on television. You know, if you see evil long enough, guess what it becomes? Not evil anymore. Why? Because your sin, your conscience gets used to it. Your conscience gets hardened, and evil just doesn't seem like evil anymore. What is laughter? When somebody makes you laugh at something, why do you laugh at it? You ever thought about why you laugh at things? And you say, it's just funny. Okay, what makes it funny? It's the opposite of expectation. It's like... somebody said to somebody one time, you have a photogenic smile. The person said, oh, thank you. And they said, yes, you got film on your teeth. Okay? Some people got it. Did you see what I just did? That's the opposite of expectation. They thought they were getting a compliment, and all of a sudden they got what? An insult. And why? You laughed. Because it's the opposite of expectation. What do people laugh about on TV a lot? Good things or sinful things? Sinful things. Because they present something in one way and then they take it to you the other way. It's the opposite of expectation. They make you laugh at sin. Well, God says here that you're to abstain from all appearance of evil, all forms of evil. You know, we've got to have our minds and our bodies and our spirits sharpened to what is evil. What is evil? How sensitive should we be? I was at an elders meeting years and years ago at another church, and one of the fellow elders were there, and we were just having our meeting, and this fellow, Eric, his eyes just started watering and tearing, and then he was coughing, and his nose was running, and we looked at Eric and said, are you okay? He goes, man, I'm having a reaction, I'm allergic to something in this room. Somebody had eaten some peanuts, and he was sitting beside the waste can of peanuts, and he was allergic to peanuts. All he did was just sit beside him, and he had an allergic reaction to it. Would you say he had a sensitivity to peanuts? Yes. Would you say he's sensitive to that? Absolutely. As believers, do you know how sensitive we should be to sin? As soon as we get next to it, it should make us react to it. Our tears... our eyes start watering with tears over the sins of others that are driving themselves away from God and away from the things of God that are holy and pure. You know, we should be sensitive. But some of us are just insensitive to sin. We just don't see it anymore. And not only that, we laugh with the world. God says here, abstain. I don't want any part of it. All forms of evil. all appearances of evil. Somebody once said like this, there's an old Chinese proverb, don't tie your shoe in your neighbor's cucumber patch. Wendell got it. Why shouldn't you tie your shoe in your neighbor's cucumber patch? Why shouldn't you? You're bending over tying your shoe and your neighbor sees you out of his window. What does he think you're going to be doing? It might be stealing one of his cucumbers. See, as believers, this edge living, we got to be careful, because sometimes if we get too close to the edge between what is right and what is wrong, others that see us may interpret our actions in such a way they may think we're all gone over the edge. Maybe we haven't. But you want to live your life in such a way that you don't bring reproach to God, yourself, your church, your family, your nation, because how you live your life is going to impact others. There's an old saying, no man is an island unto himself. We all touch somebody. And when we should abstain from all appearances of evil, all forms of evil, first we have to see that evil is really evil. Now, how does God feel about evilness? How does he feel about that? God dealt with it to the extent he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. That's how God feels about sin. He takes it seriously. And if God takes it serious enough that he didn't spare his own son for us, we should take it seriously. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, evilness. What is evil? Evil is the corruption of good. Now, when God made the world in Genesis, he said, it is what? Good. He said it over and over and over again. He said, this is good. It is good. God made the world a good world. Evil is the absence of good when good should be present. Psalm 37:27. Turn from evil and do good. That's what God expects from us. Evil is a moral choice of bad over good, arising from the badness of character. That's what evil is. Now, if we're to abstain from all appearances of evil, we got to know what evil is first. God defines evil. And how do we know how God defines it? It's in his word. The commandments that God gives to us. The boundaries. The fence that God sets up. As believers, we don't want to run the fence, because we might be in danger of making a misstep and falling over the edge. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5 here for a moment, verse 20. Look at this verse here, Isaiah 5:20. Now, in Isaiah 5:20, the first word is woe. Is that a word of blessing or cursing? It's a word of cursing. Woe, or woe be unto you. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good what? Evil. Now, that is a morally corrupt person. Their character is corrupt. They call evil good and good evil. We need to have men and women that don't let their good be evil spoken of. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. How would you describe that person? Their moral values are totally upside down. It should be this way, and they're totally this way in their character and their life. They're an evil person. God has this standard, they create their own standard. They turn totally upside down what God calls evil. Verse 21, woe to them that are wise in their own eyes. They think they're so wise. In our country today, our nation is, our moral foundation is just crumbling and shaking. It's because we have put darkness for light and evil for good in our culture. That's where we're at today. And the Apostle Paul here says, abstain from all appearances of evil, all forms of evil. We've got to recognize evil for what it truly is and how much God hates it. As believers, we need to know the Word of God and be able to discern between good and evil, because this person in verse 20 has no spiritual discernment. Their hearts are hardened. They're an evil-natured person. And the worst thing about verse 20, if you go up to them saying, your life is an evil life, they won't even have an ear to hear you. They will not even understand what you're talking about. And why is that? Because they're morally corrupt. They have no sense of right and wrong. Their conscience is seared. They have no ability to discern right from wrong. And they go willfully through their life thinking they're so wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They think they got it all together. Evilness. Does God cause evilness? Does God cause evilness? No, not at all. Just because there is evil present doesn't mean God created it. Now, think with me here for a minute. Are you a morally free being? Yes or no? Are you morally free to make choices? Absolutely. If you were a robot, do you have choices? Can you make choices if you're a robot? You are programmed a certain way to do certain, you're just set, you're controlled by an outside force. You're a robot. Did God make us a robot or morally free people? He made us morally free. Why did he make us morally free? What is the greatest essence in this universe is love. God is love. If he loves us, he wants us to have the ability to love him back. If he took our ability to make choices away from us, we could not love him of our own will. He allows us that will, but within that, being able to make moral choices, people can make bad choices like we see in Isaiah 5:20 here, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. They make a moral choice, but they make the wrong one. If God was to remove evil in this world, he would have to remove the moral choice within each of us. If he did that, we would have no capacity to love God. And the greatest thing we can do is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. God does not create evil, but he did create moral free beings that have a choice between good and evil. God does not create evil. Abstain, turn back over here to Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, if God is a good God, and we say we're a believer, and we say that we know God, and we say we understand the scriptures, and we say we're saved, and we say that we are going to heaven when we die, and we're trusting in God that he's going to deliver us from the wrath to come, and we have no fear of evil, and we don't live as righteous people, somehow I think you're deceived. If you have no sense of right or wrong in your life, no sense that what you're doing is evilness in God's sight. Now, let me make this a little more practical. You can have a man or you can have a woman. Doesn't matter which way it goes here in the illustration. If there is a married woman or a married man, and there's a single person over here that's unattached, and this single person, whether male or female, goes after a married man or a married woman, is that evil in God's sight, yes or no? That is evilness, because a married person is unavailable in God's sight. They're committed. And for somebody, male or female, to go after a male or female person that's married is an abomination in God's sight. They're an evil person. And if that person can do that year after year and have no conscience about it, they probably don't know God. They're probably in Isaiah chapter 5. They're putting evil for good and good for evil. Their moral values are all upside down. How do you know if you're saved? Abstain from all appearances of what? Evil. You have a conscience within you that bids you, don't do this thing, and you do it anyway. You probably don't know God if it's a lifestyle. It's of a habit over and over and over again. You probably don't know God. And the worst kind of deception is self-deception. Because that's what they in Isaiah 21, they're wise in their own eyes. They think they're doing so good. You know, God makes it very plain here, verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. You don't have any part of it, from all forms of evil. Now, God doesn't want us to sin. Who wants us to sin? Satan does. He wants to make us sin as believers. For unbelievers, they're taken captive by him at their will, at his will. They sin because Satan, they follow after him. For true New Testament believers here in verse 22, abstain, you don't have any part of it, of evil. That should be a ruling guide in our life. Now, as we abstain, why do we want to abstain from all forms? One, the scripture tells us. But here's some practical reasons. One, when we abstain from all forms of evil, it honors God. God is a good God. And if we know God, we want to be like him. And if God's a good God, then we want to do what pleases him and abstain from that which he calls evil if we know God. The first thing is because it honors and pleases God. Why do we abstain from evil? Because it honors and pleases God. The second reason, why do we abstain from evil? It's for our own good. Our own good. A man shall reap what he sows. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the corruption of it. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the blessings of the Spirit. Why do we abstain from all appearances? It's good for us as individuals, as believers. Now, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote this to the believers, abstain from all appearance, all forms of evil. Don't go there. If it's evil, you stay away from it. As written to believers. The third reason, why should we abstain? It's good for others. Because our example can influence others for good or for bad. And as we live our Christian life out, as we live a life pleasing for God, others that watch us won't be taken down. Abstain from all appearances of evil. We don't want to be that dog that runs the fence right to the border, the boundary, all time barking, looking on the other side. If you're an edge living person, you're going to one day, Satan's going to get you. Because you're going to jump that fence and you're going to be on the wrong side. Because Satan's going to, you know what he's going to do that fence? He's going to dig a hole under that fence. And you're going to think, wow, I'm free now. And you get on the other side of that fence and you start chasing those trucks going by the street outside. And one day, sooner or later, a truck's going to run right over you. And the truck of God's judgment and sin. Because that fence was there. The owner knew that dog needed protection. Keep it inside the fence. It won't chase the cars. It won't chase the trucks. It won't get hit. And we think we want to get out there in that street and chase some trucks and cars. And then one day, bam, it's got us. And our life is ruined. Abstain from all appearances of evil. It honors God, it protects ourselves, and it's good for others. Abstain from all appearances of evil. You know, it's difficult to do that in this world. Is this world getting more evil, or is it getting more Christ-like? More evil. The tares and the wheat, what does the scripture say? They grow to maturity. And as they grow to maturity, after they mature, what does the Lord say? The harvest comes. And as I look out in this world today, the church is maturing, but the world is maturing too. That evilness is everywhere. If you want to do evil, it's out there and you can find it. But if you want to do righteousness and know God's word, teaching is everywhere. Christian radio, books, television, you can find Christian teaching everywhere. It's maturing. But at one point, there's coming the harvest time. And God's going to separate the true sheep from the goats. What is a goat? A goat is somebody that maybe Christ has some Christ talk in their hearts and minds, but they don't know God. A true sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? Follow me. And somebody says, I'm a sheep, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but they don't hear his voice, they don't follow him, they're not a true sheep. They've deceived themselves. And Paul says here, abstain from all appearance of evil. For a true believer, it's not a burden. It's not difficult if you love God to abstain. You know why? Because you love God. Is there pleasure in sin? There is, but it's only for what?
A
season, and then you're done. You can enjoy your sin. Go ahead and enjoy your sin. But be known to you, it's only for a season, and then it's done. And for us as believers, God has prepared a better place for us. And he's given us a hope and a calling. He's given us a future. But right now, God wants us to abstain from all appearances of evil. And we need to live a righteous life as believers in this present world, one of holiness and true sanctification. Now look down in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart for him. You are set apart for God. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you abstain from all appearances of evil, that is your spirit, your soul, and your body. Every bit of you is involved here. God would have you to live that sanctified, true life before him. Now, what do you do if evilness comes your way? I heard a man share this with me one time. He said, guess what happened to me this week at work? And I said, what? And he was at some truck stop, and somebody came up with their cell phone and said, hey, look at this on my phone. And he goes, get that junk out of here. Boom. That's what he said. Get that junk out of here. Was he following this verse here, abstaining from all what? Appearance of evil. See, that's what you need to do. Satan is going to push it in your face. You know what you do? I'm not going to have part of it. Get that junk out of here. In your home, is there anything that God would call evil in your home? Think about this. Magazines? How about the cable subscription you're tied to? Is that evil? If you were watching something on television, and just like Jesus to the apostles, all of a sudden Jesus, poop, was sitting right beside you on your couch watching television, would you have any embarrassment at all if he was all of a sudden just to show up and watch what you're watching? If you have any tinge of, I don't know if I'd really want to be watching this with him watching me. But remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you or what? Forsake you. He's always with us wherever we go. And why do we want to abstain from evil? Because in the verse 23 says, be preserved blameless unto what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back again, and only fools mock his coming again. The scoffers say in the last day, where is the promise of his coming? That's a scoffer and a mocker. They don't live their life as thinking he's coming back anytime. And why do we abstain from evil? Because one day we're going to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to reward us for our faithfulness and our goodness. And we don't want to be ashamed at his coming, living and doing things that we ought not to have done. Abstain from all appearances. It's not a burden for those that love God. It's not a burden. Well, this week, is there anything you can do in greater measure to abstain from all appearances of evil? Is there anything you can do in your life? Because to abstain, you have to push back against it. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we've looked at this verse and we've talked about what it means as believers, Father, so many believers, and many of us can think about people that are spiritual shipwrecks because they did not abstain from evil and all forms of it, God. They flirted with sin, and sin got them. And sin was like a lion crouching at the door, and they opened that door, and it got them. And Father, I pray for us as believers that we would not be foolish enough to have edge living, that we're always running the fence, seeing how close we can get to sin. Lord, may we live a life that we have boundaries and we have separation and we have holiness and we have purity in the music we listen to and the things we read and watch and the people we talk to and the people we hang around with, God. And Father, those that are evil in character and in nature and in practice, their whole life, that they've lived an ungodly life, may you keep us pure in body, soul, and spirit. Father, may we reach out to those people in Christian love to bring them into a right relationship with you. But God, may we never partake with those who deny our Lord Jesus Christ and live a life that's ungodly and wicked before you, God. So Lord, help us to abstain from evil in this ungodly and perverse generation. And Lord, I pray that you give us discernment toward this end, that we may evaluate and test all things, that we may prove what is that good and wholesome and pure word of God and righteousness that is our standard. So Lord, help us toward that end. And Lord, give us your blessing as your people this coming week, that we may live a life honoring to thee. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.